Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Well, you know, it's Black History Month, the month of February, and we want to make sure that we just share about William Seymour today. In fact, throughout the week, we're probably going to have some more videos and share some more about this just awesome man of God. William Seymour was an African-American back in the 1900s. In 1906, he led up a powerful move of God. It was called the Azusa Street Revival. Many people don't know he only had one eye. He was blind in one eye.
Wow.
And I believe he was. Well, anyway, we have a video for you from CBN, and they're going to talk a little bit about his life, about two authors that worked together to put a book about the Azusa Street Revival and how he pioneered all that. I want you to listen up.
William J. Seymour was born the son of freed slaves in Louisiana. He attended a Houston Bible school, but when the head of the school prayed for the students to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Seymour had to sit outside because he was black. Even though he missed the prayer meeting, he took the message of Pentecost to a small church in Los Angeles. After his first fiery sermon on healing in prayer languages, he was locked out of the church and told not to come back. So Seymour joined a small prayer group at 312 Bonnie Bray Street. As he preached the message there, the fire of the Holy Spirit came down. People spoke in tongues and were healed. Over the next few days, huge crowds gathered for interracial services. Many received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, including Seymour himself. In fact, so many were drawn to the powerful meetings, the front porch collapsed under the weight of all the people. So for $50 a month, they rented an old barn on Azusa Street. Services ran constantly for 3 years, from 1906 to 1909. As people from around the world came to hear Seymour's messages, the modern Pentecostal movement quickly went global. Segregation had kept Seymour from receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Houston. But after he received the baptism at the LA Sermons, Seymour took steps toward yet another kind of church reformation. At the time, neither women nor black people had the right to vote. Segregation was the national norm. But the first directors of Seymour's apostolic faith mission included men and women, both black and white. William J. Seymour's life and his ministry illustrate that we are all God's children, adopted through faith in Jesus Christ. And he showed the world that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are still available to Christians.
Isn't it amazing when God wanted to do something, he reached down to the lower class, somebody who was a descendant of slaves, and brought forth the most powerful revival in the history of the world. Well, for more on this, we turn to our dear friend, Dr. Vincent Sinus, and his co-author, Charles Fox. They're the authors of a new book called William J. Seymour, Pioneer of the Azusa Street Revival. And it's good to see you guys. Hey, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
Okay. What happened there? What triggered in your mind? Well, you lived into this stuff. What does it do to you?
Well, when I see that presentation just now, it just brings it back that God did a miraculous, world-changing thing in just 3 years in Los Angeles with a black man who brought white people and people from all backgrounds into that great revival.
How many people were touched by that, do you know?
Well, they had about 1,000 people that could cram into the building, but millions were touched. It's over 600 million in the world now that are touched by that great revival.
That was an old stable. Well, I mean, it's kind of biblical. It was a stable.
It had been a Methodist church, black Methodist church
before. Oh, I thought it had been a stable before.
Then it had been sold and used as a stable and a lumber yard.
Oh, okay.
And a storehouse, but it was first a church.
Well, Charles, let me ask you. You are a graduate of that great university, Regent University.
That's right.
School of Divinity.
Yes.
This is based on your thesis?
Yes, based on my dissertation I wrote in 2009. And the thing that really stood out to me about Seymour was that he was a man of prayer. And so, as Vincent mentioned, We look at the effects, the results of the revival, but I like to look at the things that caused that revival. And for one, the man of prayer, it was recorded in from 1903 to 1905. He was praying for 5 hours a day. John G. Lake recorded that for 2.5 years. So God was preparing his heart. Secondly, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, really filled with the Holy Spirit. In fact, William Durham said that every time that you got near Seymour, you felt God's love and power every time you got close to the man. And thirdly, because he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he created an atmosphere of love at Azusa Street, and that's what tore down the racial lines.
I understand he used to be in front of the congregation. He'd put his head in an orange crate or something and just cry out to God. Is that right?
Yes, he did. Sure. In fact, when something was going on, if the spirit in the place got to be wrong, he would just simply pray. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it was recorded that he would go upstairs because they had their prayer room was upstairs. And also he resided, his residence was up there as well. But if something was going wrong downstairs, Seymour would tap his foot like this.
Yeah. And tell them to
behave themselves. And then come down stairs. If it got too out of hand, he would come downstairs and just pray again.
Racial prejudice was rife in those days. It was right after the days of slavery.
Yes.
I mean, how did they overcome that? It didn't matter. White people came in there, people from all around the world, men and women.
Once again, it was love. I mean, Frank Bartleman said this. He coined the phrase, the color line was washed away in the blood.
Yeah.
But he could have easily had said, the color line was washed away in love. Because even though speaking in tongues drew people to Azusa Street, they were there for that. What kept them there was love. And that's how they were allowed you know, to get together as interracial group in harmony.
Listen, you've written about the effects of this, and you mentioned it before. What is the impact right now of Pentecostalism, or the I guess you can call it that, or the charismatic revival, whatever?
Well, it is gone. It really went worldwide from Azusa Street early on, but then in this last century, it spread all over the earth into every denomination.
That's right.
Catholics, there are almost 200 million Catholics who are baptized in spirit today, and all churches worldwide. It's just been the greatest revival and its effects since the Reformation.
Well, you said 600 million people have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, or are living now today, are they spirit-filled people? 600
yes,
million?
It's what they say, and it's growing about 20 million a year worldwide.
Wow.
And it's really nothing quite like it in church history.
Well, you're part of it, and I'm pleased to say that the Lord did it to me.
Amen.
Yes,
amen.
Sir.
Praise God.
We're children of Azusa Street.
That's right.
Beautiful.
We are.
What an incredible thing. Well, you've got a book out. Is this just published? Today's the day?
Just a couple of weeks ago out. The first half of the book is the life story that Charles wrote. It's the best one I've seen. The second half, I edited everything that Seymour wrote and published, including his only book. Is all in this one book.
And you can get it wherever books are sold?
Yes.
It's called William Seymour Pioneer?
Yes, Amazon.com or anywhere.
William Seymour Pioneer. What a
pioneer of the Azusa Street Revival.
Of the Azusa Street Revival.
Exactly.
I've got you. Okay, well, this is an incredible turning point in the church, and it's available to you. So, guys, thank you so much for this.
Thank you so much.
Wow, this is so, so powerful. When we come back in our next program, we're going to talk more about the Azusa Street Revival and what made this revival so powerful. 3 years, a move of God that shook not only this country, but the entire world, where 600 million people, 600 million people were impacted by God. My goodness, William Seymour. You know, this is Black History Month, and we're talking about an African-American who was so used powerfully by God in 1906.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we talk about the wonderful things that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. has done, and what a great example he has been. But, you know, there have been others that have come before and those that have come after. But one that's come before is William Seymour. And there are so many things to draw from this encounter and from this awesome man of God. But, you know, one of the first things that come to mind is that, my goodness, you can't, listen, if you get offended, you're going to miss so much of what God has for you.
All
I
right.
mean, William Seymour, this whole thing could have just stopped.
It could have stopped.
It could have stopped if he would have got offended in Houston when, because, you know, they basically, you know, rejected him.
Mm-hmm.
Rejected him because of his race. You know, and you look back and you say, wow. What if he didn't, that's what we talked about not too long ago, and hopefully this week we'll get a chance to talk about the importance of knowing God and him knowing you. It's so important, because once you know God, once you've experienced God, once you've become God's friend, there's nothing that no man can say or do to you that can stop you. Someone once said, he who kneels before God can stand up to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And William Seymour was a man like that. He knew his God, and God used them to do amazing and wonderful exploits. So he leaves Houston, Texas. Sorry, Houston. And goes over to Los Angeles.
They missed out, didn't they?
Yeah. I mean, you can miss a move of God. You can miss a move of God. And you never knew what was, maybe it was supposed to happen in Houston. We don't know.
Wow.
But he goes all the way to Los Angeles. And then they padlock him out the church. and we say the church that where they were meeting in that building, because we know that the church is the body of Christ, the people, believers, together. And what happens? William Seymour has a little prayer meeting in a house of all places. In a house. 214 North Bonnie Bray Street. And in this little old house, the power of God rocked it. I mean, there were so many people these guys were sharing with us, these gentlemen were sharing with us, that the whole porch caved in. And God moved powerfully. I believe, you know, it's reported that they were on the beginning of a 10-day fast and the third day of prayer. People were starting to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it's so wonderful, having been a part of an awesome move of God at the Brownsville Revival, the Brownsville Outpouring back in 1995. You know, when God moves, when the Spirit of God is moving and the revival fires are burning and the Holy Spirit is moving in power, it's amazing. Without much advertising, without, you don't have to, you don't have, you know, I think it was Dr. Brown who said, you don't have to advertise a fire. You know, people come out
That's
and,
good.
You know, people come, yeah. You know, John Wesley said, you know, all you have to do is light yourself on fire and people will come and watch it burn, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And you don't have to advertise that. People came from all over the world for the Brownsville Revival. And back in 1906, people were coming all over the world to get a touch from God. Let me tell you that when God is moving, you just want to get there.
Mm-hmm.
You just want to get there. You want to be in the river. You want to get wet. You want to get soaked. You want the revival fires to be all in you, all over you, and so that you can be a flame of fire and you can be touched by God. And I'm just amazed as I look back and think about Pat, one man. Now, a lot of times people look at a move of God, but they don't look at what happened before the move of God. I mean, right. Even in the Brownsville Revival, there was years that they were praying.
That's right.
Praying for revival and had other prayer needs.
And it was around almost the same time. It was like two and a half years.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Before it broke out.
Sure was. And I didn't know this. I mean, you can only imagine, but I didn't know this for a fact. But we just learned today that William Seymour would spend 5 hours a day praying
right.
for 2.5, you know, years.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you can't start a revival. You know what I'm saying? You can't just say we're going to have a revival meeting.
Right.
It's a sovereign move of the Lord. God chooses.
And you got to be prepared for it.
Can you ever be prepared?
A lot of people didn't make it, did they?
Yeah. I mean, even with the best intentions and the best way to prepare, I mean, revival is not something that you can figure out. You just have to trust God all the way through it. But it takes humility. And it takes a hunger for the things of God. If you can't embrace a move of God with pride, thinking you're going to figure God out, you know, and God can do so many different things. I think about folks that were, you know, got caught up in judging manifestations. It's like, dude, God is here.
Yeah.
You know, God is here. Look at the fruit. And that's why fruit is so important. You know, fruit and what's being preached and what's being shared in context to the Word of God. But I think about, you know, this man's willingness to be just one, you know, before they had the crowds and before they had the house and before they had they went to actual Azusa Street where they had the barn that used to be the church and they met there.
Right.
It started in a house, but before it started in the house, It started in a man. And a lot of times people are looking for a revival meeting or looking for a group of people. Listen, revival starts in the heart of the individual. You can have a revival. You can be on fire yourself. You know, revival comes when the reviver touches you and you're changed forever by Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you that I'm looking forward to, I know many of us are looking forward to, just a powerful move of God, a third great awakening that just goes from coast to coast and touches our entire nation. But many today are praying for God to move in power, and I'm just so looking forward to that day. I sense it in my spirit, man. It's soon approaching.
Mm-hmm.
But this last 1906 move of God affected, Pat, 600 million people.
Wow.
600 million people.
That's worldwide.
Worldwide, filled with the Holy Spirit. And it was interesting that one of the authors of this book, and which we're going to make available for you on the torch, we're going to make sure that's related for you, as well as some of the other segments that we've done on the Brownsville outpouring, and we've talked about the wonders of the Lord. But they talked about how one of the main emphasis during this move of God was love, and having a culture of love and having a culture of prayer, and how love and the culture of prayer and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I mean, yeah, people came because there was the power and God was moving, but it was love that washed away the color lines.
Right.
And how beautiful is that?
Right. Who would have thought?
You know, how beautiful is that? Today, listen, we need to have racial reconciliation even today. And it's not going to be because, you know, a good idea. It's not going to be because we applied some principles. It's not going to be because we've done this big kind of gathering or a show. It's going to be when we begin to lay ourselves down for each other and really move in genuine love, the love of God. And it's just absolutely amazing. I know that's what touched me many, many years ago when, you know, my dad, Pat, many years ago was ministered to in a congregation that was, you know, for the most part, predominantly white.
Mm-hmm.
And I was Hispanic growing up in New Jersey, and we had previously had been to, you know, a different gathering. But the love of God, as a young boy, I remember just being a young boy, the love of God, I just genuinely felt the love of God amongst the people of God. It affected me the rest of my entire life, man. Even when I left the Lord, when I was, you know, in my college days, and just, right. I never forgot that.
Wow.
And the love that they were willing to move with, you know, towards my family and towards my dad, and just was just amazing. It was a wonderful, wonderful time as I look back. In fact, some of those folks we're still in contact with today, Pat. Some, you know, 35 years later, mm-hmm. we're still in contact with them.
Oh, wow.
It was so genuine and so beautiful. So I'm telling you, all we need to do is just move in the love of God, mm-hmm. and watch that the dividing walls will come down, and we can see the whole entire body of Christ touched. Listen, Rick Joyner shared a prophetic word that he believes this third great awakening, mm-hmm. God's going to use the African Americans in a powerful way.
That's
how
right.
beautiful would that be?
Yeah.
1906 all the way to year 2000 is like, oh, come on, Jesus, let's do it again. Let's see God move in power,
yes.
save souls, and change people's lives forever. Listen, the time is short. Jesus is coming back. And I'm ready for the next move of God. I want to be all in. Get in.
I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well, we want to welcome our new audience on WHBR all the way from Destin, Florida, to Mississippi, over 500,000 households all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure, if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if we're not yet on there. Say you want VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world. You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFNTV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. Did you know that VFNTV and the daily radio program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country in that order and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today. Or become a sponsor or underwriter and visit our sponsor and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country in that order and Israel as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the daily radio program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.